views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most inspired visionaries on the planet in lighthearted, lively dialogue. Join us as we explore the expansive nature of reality in a down-to-earth way, offering you insights and tools empowering you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Now, here's your host, Christine Upchurch.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Christine Upchurch Show, where we have stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. I'm talking to you here today at Hubbard Radio. We're nice and warm in here, although it's really freezing outside, here in the Seattle area on KKNW AM 1150. And you may be listening on cable radio network in the U.S., or also you might be listening from WBLQ there in the Northeast United States, or Transformation Talk Radio anywhere around the world. I'm so glad you've joined us here today. But first, I want to say hello to Benny across the way. Hey, Benny.
Hey there, my fellow 12, and congratulations. Yeah. This Lombardi Trophy is keeping us so warm today and all week.
You know, I know you are a huge fan.
And just a little bit.
You've been dealing with the ups and downs and the stresses of the season, of course.
It's been so stressful.
I know. And although I am a fan, I'm a fan from afar, although I did watch the Super Bowl and it was really impressive.
Good
it was
for
very
you.
Impressive.
See, the bugs getting into your system.
I know. And I do really appreciate the camaraderie, the support, the enthusiasm of the Seattle fans. How many people were there at the parade on Wednesday?
There is still suspect on how many people, literally from all, were increasing up to about a million.
Yeah, yeah.
On Wednesday morning and throughout the entire day. I mean, it was just a madhouse. But not one arrest was done.
That's great.
Not one fight broke out.
Don't you love Seattle?
It was amazing how that whole entire day went, like, literally, it was just a round of applause to all the fans right there.
Right there. And, you know, one of the things I love about the fact that the Seahawks win, besides the fact that I'm from the Seattle area and I do support
You're partial to.
Yeah, I am.
Sure.
It's the fact that the coach has taken a different approach with the players. Number one, the players do yoga.
They do.
Number two, they do meditation and visualization, right?
Doing it right now.
And they're also very cognizant of nutrition, and not like the old style nutrition. They're really looking some of the cutting edge nutrition. So they're approaching this in a very holistic way. And the coach believes in helping the individual as opposed to just focusing on the team. You know, he wants to make things work for individual. And so it's a very holistic approach to coaching, and it resulted in Seattle's first Super Bowl win ever.
I think it fits perfectly for our area. We are a melting pot of many different varieties of visions and spiritual work and so forth. And I'm glad they really have adopted that theme for their entire team and for the staff. I know quite a few people have done the same thing. And even for here, for us, I've myself adopted quite a few little things on the side.
Yes.
So it's really cool to see how things like that gel, and hopefully other teams and maybe the entire network and NFL and other major sports teams can adopt it as well. I think it'd be really cool.
Yeah. And it is a changing world, and we're viewing things from a much more holistic perspective.
You got it.
And that relates to my show today, because part of approaching things holistically is to understand our wholeness, and to tap into more and more of who we truly are and have that awareness. And my guest today does exactly that. He is J.M. DeBord, and he's been in the publishing world for like 25 years. He's worked in newspaper and television journalism and radio journalism as well. He's the author of a novel called Something Coming, a New Age thriller. And yet many years ago, a couple decades ago, he began studying and interpreting dreams. He's fascinated by the dreams we have when we're sleeping. And he interprets dreams as a moderator on Reddit Dreams, and he's known as Rad Owl. So he's good at interpreting people's dreams. And so you might want to start thinking about if you happen to have any dreams you're curious about that you might want to talk to him about today. And one of his personal dreams was to help empower others to be able to not only have the awareness of their dreams, but to be able to interpret them and utilize that information in your lives. And he has helped create that by writing the book, Dreams 1-2-3, Remember, Interpret, and Live Your Dreams. He's my guest today, J.M. DeBord. J.M., welcome to the Christine Upchurch Show.
Christine, it's great to be here. Thank you.
Oh, you know, it's this dream business is fascinating. I know that a lot of people are rather curious about some of the strangeness of their dreams, and we don't always remember our dreams. But first, before we actually get into the dream analysis, why is it important that we become aware of our dreams?
Well, your dreams are, I call them the ultimate life coach, because your dreams have a perspective of you that you may not consciously have of yourself, because they come from another side of the mind, which is called the unconscious. Mm-hmm. Now, that doesn't mean like knocked out in a boxing match unconscious or going to sleep unconscious. What it means is that it's a counterpart to the conscious mind, and it forms a larger picture. Think of the yin-yang symbol. You know, if you have half of it, you're not seeing the full picture.
Right.
When you put the circle together with both sides together, that forms the complete picture. So your unconscious mind is where your dreams come from, and your dreams are given to you from that perspective of the larger person that you are, but you may not be aware of many of those other parts of yourself. You could say that they're hidden in the shadows.
Right.
And largely what dreams are is like a spotlight that shines into the dark and shows you what's there.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, it's extremely important for yourself to understand your dreams and to use that information, because otherwise, and a dream that isn't understood or isn't remembered is like a letter that's unopened. There's this message for you in the letter, but if you don't open the envelope and read, you know, the letter, then you have no idea what the message is.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I analyze my dreams on a regular basis, and sometimes I do it within, you know, sort of my own sort of inner experience. Sometimes I do it within the concept of like, you know, the connection with a friend, you know, where we might analyze it together. And sometimes I've done it within the context of counseling, because it can be really, really informative.
Oh, it really can, yeah.
Yeah. So if dreams are important to give us a more holistic understanding of who we are and what's really going on within us, how do we first become aware of our dreams? Because a lot of people say, I can't remember my dreams.
Yeah. And, you know, studies have shown that people, even if they don't think that they dream, they really do. It's just that when they go to sleep at night, they're not, the dreams, they're not being recalled for one reason or another. Now, there are a few conditions out there like brain damage and stuff that can actually stop the mechanical process of dreaming.
Sure.
But otherwise, what it comes down to really is the time to do it. Because remembering your dreams and giving them time and attention, I mean, it requires energy, it requires effort. You know, you might have to wake up a little early in the morning if you have to go to work right away. You know, like if you start your day at a run, that is one of the biggest hindrances to remembering your dreams, because better to stay in that twilight zone between sleep and awake to allow yourself to gradually wake up. And the first thing you focus on is, what did I dream? You search your memory, and it's sort of like thinking about an event that happened long time ago and trying to bring up the details of it. Even though you just had the dream, it's way down in your memory. And so you have to give it some time. And the other thing is desire. If you understand that your dreams have meaning, and that meaning is tailored specifically for you, and that there are messages within your dreams, they're like these little stories or little parables that are being told to you, and there's a moral to the story, and the dreams want to get you, they want you to understand the moral, but they're not going to just come right out and tell you, so they want you to devote a little effort to it, and that is where the desire part comes in, because if you understand that dreams have meaning, and that meaning is tailored for you, and it can really be life-enhancing and beneficial to do it, then naturally you want to remember your dreams. You want to know what those messages are.
Sure, so on some level you have to have the intention.
Yeah,
that intention is really important.
Intention and desire. So oftentimes what I found is that once you have given someone comes to me with a dream, they've never seen meaning in their dreams before,
right.
And then I give them an interpretation that really hits the spot, then it is like lighting a fire underneath them. They are ready to run with it because they see it for themselves and they understand it for themselves. But until that happens, it's just sort of this thing where you go, well, dreams might have meaning, but how the heck am I supposed to know what mine mean?
Uh-huh. Yeah. So once you have the desire, is there and you make a little space for yourself, you know, at the beginning of your day, is there anything else that you can do in order to help capture those dreams?
Yes, absolutely. One is to have a pen and paper by your bedside when you go to sleep.
Uh-huh.
It makes it so that you don't have to put up, you know, you don't have to think about it first thing in the morning, like, hey, I got this great dream, I want to write it down, but where's my pen and paper? It can distract you. The second thing is that it creates the expectation that you will remember a dream and have something worth writing down. So
uh-huh.
you put that pen and paper by your bedside with the expectation that you're going to have a dream. Another thing that works really well is suggestion, self-suggestion. You tell yourself before you go to sleep, I know I'm going to have dreams and I want to remember them, so I am going to remember my dreams tonight. And so you tell yourself that several times. And then when you wake up in the morning, you have your pen and paper there, you stay in the same position. This is also important because your body
yeah.
has sort of a physical cue. If you get up and you're sitting upright, that's not the position you were in when you were sleeping, most
yes,
likely.
Yes.
So you need to lay back down, put your head on the pillow, return to your sleep position, the same position as when you woke up, and keep that pen and paper there and just search your memory. And that will often spark dreams. Now, there are other techniques for people who have, you know, sort of stubbornly can't remember their dreams. You can take naps. You can understand your sleep cycle so that you can wake yourself up an alarm right at the end of a dream stage.
Sure.
Things along those lines. And I give a lot of suggestions in chapter one of my book for
sure.
people who want to remember their dreams.
And it's a fascinating roadmap to actually accessing and interpreting your dreams. We're going to have to go to a quick break now, but when we return, JM, I'm going to want you to talk about how we make sense out of sometimes what seems totally crazy, and we'll also be taking a few callers. So if you have a brief description of a dream, you know, at some point in the next 20 minutes or so, we are going to be taking callers when we return here on the Christine Upchurch Show.
Join us February 14th through the 17th for the 22nd Annual Women of Wisdom Conference in Seattle. Come explore the new paradigm, riding the wave of the heart. Inspirational speakers, experiential workshops will change your life for good. Join Donna Eden, Esther Nicholson, Jalaja Bonheim, Julie McIntyre, and S.J. Tucker. Everything is individually priced, and evening events are open to men. Reduce prices for teens, students, and seniors. Looking for community? Join us this February. Visit womenofwisdom.org. That's womenofwisdom.org. Oh, and you'll want to attend the CD music release concert that S.J. Tucker is giving Saturday, February 15th. That's womenofwisdom.org, 206-782-3363. That's 206-782-3363.
Get insider knowledge about everything that is going on at Transformation Talk Radio. Go to transformationtalkradio.com and enter your email to receive our newsletter. Stay updated on new hosts, inspiring guests, and good news articles from around the world. We look forward to having you join our community.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. As a former research statistician, my scientific background is what many would call sensible. For more than a decade now, I have been working in the field of energy medicine, facilitating sessions and teaching around the world. People from the mainstream often ask me, how did a sensible woman like you end up working in such an alternative field? Implicit in their question is the underlying assumption that the field of subtle energy, such as energy healing and intuition, isn't sensible. But I believe it is very sensible. Even scientists are able to measure aspects of this. Approaching life from an energetic perspective brings us new opportunity for healing and transformation. And from a practical standpoint, even if you can't rationally explain how something works, if you experience a shift from it, then doesn't it make it pretty sensible? Please visit StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Tune in each Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 Eastern Time on Transformation Talk Radio to Limelight Radio with Katina Macris. This is an inspirational, cutting-edge radio show educating worldwide listeners on a diversity of Lyme disease-related topics. Each week, Katina will interview some of the world's leaders in health, wellness, spirituality, and human potential. For more information, visit LimelightRadio.com.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW, WBLQ, CRN, and Transformation Talk Radio. I'm having an interesting conversation today with J.M. DeBord. He's the author of Dreams 1, 2, 3, Remember, Interpret, and Live Your Dreams. Now, J.M., before the break, we were talking about techniques and approaches you can use in order to begin to have the awareness of your dreams. But honestly, you know, J.M., when we have dreams, more often than not, when we start to think about the dreams, once we get into our waking conscious minds and start thinking, it made sense when I was in the dream, but it's so weird. How do you piece together something that seems so crazy into a context that makes some sense within your life?
Sure. Well, a dream is a story, and it's the same as a movie or a television show or a novel, where there is symbolism in the story, and you can break down that symbolism and understand it in its parts. Like, every movie has a setting, and your settings and your dreams can tell you things about what's going on. Like, if you're in a library, it might have to do with gaining information or knowledge.
Ah.
If you're in a bathroom, it might be about eliminating something that's unwanted or checking on your appearance, including sort of your social or personal appearance, not necessarily
sure.
physical, but more of, say, emotional or psychological appearance. If you're in a home improvement store, it might be related to making improvements in your life.
Well, now, what about death?
That was from a dream of a guy who was, he was in the process of losing a lot of weight.
Uh-huh.
And he was battling these characters inside of a home improvement store. And what it related to was fighting sides of himself that didn't want to keep putting forth the effort required to lose the weight. He was having a battle, like an internal battle with himself, that was symbolized in his dream as this battle going on inside of a home improvement store.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you can also look at the characters in your dreams, because like any good story, there's going to be characters there.
Sure.
And the characters in your dreams generally are reflections of sides of yourself.
Mm.
So, for instance, if you dream about a postal delivery, mailman, mailwoman, you know, who's delivering you a letter, it might be information that is being delivered from that unconscious side of the mind that we were talking about.
Right.
If it's a teacher who's the main character in a dream, there might be something that you have to learn. If it's a best friend, it could relate to something that's going on in your relationship with your best friend. But then again, the best friend can be sort of a marker or a symbol for something that you see in that person and also see in yourself. Like, let's say that you're having trouble with your finances, and your best friend or whoever it is in the dream is someone that you know is being particularly good with personal finances. So that person could be a marker for that side of you that is trying to learn from that person how to be better with personal finances.
Okay.
Just one of many examples. Now, the last thing you look at as far as sort of the elements of a dream is the symbolism. And dreams are full of symbolism. In fact, it's entirely symbolism. And that is the fact that people tend to hear with relief after they've had a dream that really disturbed them.
Uh-huh.
You know, like maybe the dream shows them, you know, being stabbed in the back,
right.
you know, and they think, wow, you know, people can even start to think, is this a premonition of something to come?
Sure.
And more likely, though, is that what it is it's sort of a metaphor that's being enacted. Somebody came to me me and said, I had a dream about being stabbed in the back by my best friend, I would say, well, do you feel like your best friend is sort of maneuvering against you in some way?
Right.
Do you feel like it's a possibility that somebody could betray you, you know, which is what stabbed in the back means when it's used as a metaphor or figure of speech? So you look at those, and then you also understand, once you look at those sort of raw, you know, elements of a story, you also start to understand the story components of it. And you will look at the actions that go on in the dreams. You'll look at how you react to the situations that you're presented with in the to you. And then finally, you can take that and you put it all together, and you start to use your personal associations with the content of the dream to figure out what the meaning is. And so that's kind of a long story short. That's basically chapter two of my book summarized in about two paragraphs.
Right, right. So it, but it's, you need to look at all the different aspects of the dreams. Now, I know that in counseling, sometimes they'll talk about all the different roles may be another aspect of yourself. What's your perspective on that?
The dream characters,
the dream
are
characters,
sort of aspects
yeah.
of yourself. Yes. You know, sometimes when you dream about somebody that you know and they're in a dream, you'll start to think like, wow, is there something that I'm being told about that person or about myself through the dream? And it's entirely possible. But the thing is a lot of people take it literally. I use an example in my book. There was somebody who I worked with who was my trainer. This was over 20 years ago. And we had, you know, we had to work together a lot. And there was a little bit of sort of a romantic spark between us, you know, at least that we could kind of sense that there was some kind of potential for a relationship there. But neither of us really acted on it. And then she had this dream that she saw me being carted away on a stretcher. And I was covered with a sheet, but she knew it was me. And she knew I was dead. And I was being kind of taken away in the, you know, in an ambulance. And it was like, wow, I really wondered, like, is this dream trying to tell me something through someone else, you know?
Yeah, that's not the sort of thing we want to hear about either. At least most of us don't.
You know, but the thing is that it's symbolism. And what I understand now is that the dream was saying that the possibility for that relationship, that deeper relationship, had come and gone. In a sense, it died. So when you see, like, for example, death in a dream, it often means the end of something. You know, it could be the end of a relationship. Let's say you dream about an ex-boyfriend from years ago, somebody you had a lot of feelings for, and you go, well, why am I dreaming about this person years later? I'm in a happy relationship, you know, all this stuff. And what it could mean is simply is that you kind of subconsciously recognize that your feelings for that person are finally what you would say is dead.
Right.
So, yeah, you got to understand that everything in the dream is symbolism, including the characters and the actions that go on with those characters. It doesn't necessarily say something literal. In fact, I find that dreams very rarely speak literally, bluntly, hit you right over the head with it. Instead, they want to tell it to you as a story and make your mind engage with the story so that by working through it and really thinking about it, you really make it part of you and you engage with it, you engage your mind with it.
That's fascinating.
Otherwise, it could be like watching a television show that comes and goes and you don't really absorb anything from it.
You know, JM, that's so interesting because when I teach and when I'm appreciating others who are teaching well, it relates to how they take the information and connect it to stories, because I really do believe that we as human beings learn best from stories. And it's great that there's this connection. It's like our subconscious knows that and arranges it just for us that way.
That's right. And if you look at many of the sort of call them the great spiritual teachings, many of them are presented in story form.
Absolutely.
You know, like Jesus was presented with all of these complicated questions, you know, and he would often answer in a parable. In fact, if you go through the New Testament, you'll find that most of the time when he's talking to a group of people, like a larger public audience, instead of just his intimate friends and students, that what you see is that he answers in parables, and because it makes the audience think about the answer.
Right.
Otherwise, you know, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's means nothing to people if you just say, oh, well, you know, pay your taxes so that you don't have trouble with the law. Well, that's great advice, but if you say it is render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, then it has more impact on the audience.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense, because you need that sort of rational and emotional connection to get to that, you know, logical place that you're going And without just somebody say pay your taxes, then it's like, yeah, yeah, whatever. But if you think
exactly.
in terms of, oh, well,
Uncle
you know,
Sam can give you the same message. You know?
Exactly. And they do every year, too. Yes.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah. Well, we are going to be taking some callers. So if you have a dream you'd like to ask JM about, you know, he does this regularly. He is an expert at analyzing dreams. Please give us a call. Benny, can you share with our listeners how they can connect here?
Sure. If you'd like to reach us here, it's 800-930-2819. That's the number for the Transformation Talk Radio Network, 800-930-2819, and I will get to you as quick as I can.
Yeah. And, you know, sometimes dreams are pretty literal. I know that at one point I had a dream, JM, where there was a situation that wasn't serving me anymore, and I dreamt about being on a sinking ship. And at first it was like I woke up and I was feeling this intensity because, you know, the concept of being on a ship that's going underwater is terrifying.
Yeah.
And yet when I sort of let go of some of the strong emotions and I began to step back and look at it, it's like, oh, wow, that's giving me really pertinent information here.
Yeah, that's right. And I would begin with a dream like that as I would look at if there is a figure of speech that is being enacted by that. You know, when you are on a sinking ship, it can mean that you're involved in a project or a relationship or something along those lines that is sinking in the figurative sense. So with a dream like that, that's where I would begin.
Yeah. And so, you know, as somebody who's very intuitive and I've actually had some, you know, precognitive dreams as well, I always like to kind of separate the two. Am I potentially going to be on a sinking ship or is it telling me something different? How do you tell the difference between something that's just telling us about our inner process and something that actually relates to a potential possibility in this reality?
Well, generally, in a precognitive dream, there will be details that you can pull out that will match closely with your waking life. You know, I had a guy who asked me about a dream. It was the night before he was supposed to go on a flight the next day. He had this flight booked, and he dreamed that a plane crashed.
Oh, dear.
And so I started asking him, I was like, well, you know, he was really afraid that it might be a precognitive dream. And
sure.
He was saying, well, should I cancel my flight? And I was like, well, is there anything? Did you see a flight number? Did you see a specific plane? Did it look like the plane that you were going to be on? Was it the same carrier? You know, could you see a, you know, like was it American Airlines or Delta or anything like that? And does that match up with waking life details? Did you see yourself in the concourse boarding the plane? And does it match up with real life? Or maybe you boarded the plane from something that couldn't be possible, like maybe it was a dock on the side of the ocean, and then somehow you get on the plane from there. Well, that's a really good sign that it's symbolism and it's not, you know, precognitive.
Uh-huh.
Precognitive dreams will give you, they'll give you some literal details that you can work on. Now, it might be a very emotional dream. You might react very strongly to it, but what you're reacting to is the symbolism. You know, like a plane crashing is similar to a boat sinking.
Uh-huh.
Our lives are said to soar, you know, or take off, but our lives can also crash.
Sure.
You know, and so in this guy's life, what it turned out was, is there was something going on in his work life, and he was feeling like his plane was crashing in the sense that this thing that's supposed to take him to where he wants to be in his life, it wasn't going to be able to make the trip, you know, and that's in a symbolic sense.
Yeah, and in my dream about the sinking ship, I was surprised by, you know, I got up to the top of the ship, and then there was this stairway that took me to the shore. Kind of like, you know, that was so unrealistic that it was telling me something very, you know, very symbolic as opposed to, you know, you're going to be on a ship that's going to sink kind of thing.
That's right.
Well, you know, we already do have a caller, but we need to go to break, and we're going to take a quick break, but more with J.M. DeBoard when we return here on the Christine Upchurch Show.
Tune in Thursdays at 7 a.m. Pacific, 10 a.m. Eastern to Spirit Guidance Radio with Shannon Walbrand on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show with South Africa's top psychic will amaze and uplift you.
Call in to receive detailed, specific answers that offer immediate solutions as Shannon interprets messages from your spirit guides. Whether it's love, business, or health, your spirit guides are ready to help. Visit ShannonWalbrand.com for more info. You are guided.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Listen to the Yo Andrew News Talk Show every Tuesday night at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. More info where to listen? www.yoandrewnts.com/listen. Don't get your message lost in the mail. Email us with this address, yoandrew@yoandrewnts.com. How about tweet Yo Andrew at AndrewTweetGeo? Taking a picture is easy. Instagram us today at YoAndrewNTS.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. Years ago, when facing cancer, without any immediate treatment options, I sought healing by making various life changes. For a while, I followed a very restrictive diet. I often found myself obsessing about which foods were good and which ones were bad. Then one day, I realized I was consuming foods based on fear of not getting well. But I didn't want to make choices out of fear anymore. I decided it was far better for my immune system if I allowed myself to experience the joy that came from, say, eating frozen yogurt, than it was for me to ingest the fear that came from avoiding it. Now, instead of choosing healthy habits based on fear, I try to make choices because they feel right and ultimately bring me joy and ease. How many of your healthy habits are really based on fear? Please visit StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
If not today, one day you will need chiropractic care. Before you choose one, get a copy of this special report, 5 Keys to Selecting the Right Chiropractor, available free, and you can read it in about 6 minutes. Get the care you need, when you need it, from the right chiropractor. Visit wellnessone.net or call toll-free 866-499-7509. Go to wellnessone.net or call 866-499-7509.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW, WBLQ, CRN, and Transformation Talk Radio. I'm having a fascinating conversation today with the author of Dreams 1-2-3. His name is J.M. DeBord. And J.M., you know, we've talked about the importance of having the awareness of our dreams and starting to get into the nitty-gritty of how to interpret our dreams. But and I know we've got callers waiting to chat with you because it's such a fascinating topic. But before we go to our first caller, would you please share with our listeners how they can connect with you?
Sure. My website for the book is dreams1-2-3.com. And that just gives a general overview of the book and links on where to buy it and things like that. And then I have a blog, which is dreams123.net. And it gives you an idea of how I approach dream interpretation so that you don't have to read chapters out of my book. You can read examples that I give where I tell what the dream is and then how I interpreted it. So that's a great place. And then I'm on Facebook at facebook.com/interpretdreams.
Interpret dreams.
Are three ways that people can hook up with me.
Okay, so the blog, are there hyphens between the 1-2-3?
No, there's not. It's just straightforward. I was able to buy that domain right out.
But okay. Okay, great.
Dreams123.com was taken by a university in Korea, of all places. So
oh, my goodness. What kind of university do they have over there?
It really makes me wonder. I know.
Yeah. And, you know, you're talking about not having to get the book, but the book is very helpful. It's structured well. You do a great job communicating it. And there are lots of examples, which are fascinating as well.
Well, thank you, Christine.
But speaking of examples, I know we've got a caller in. And We're going to line up a few callers. So, Benny, can you share with our listeners again the number to reach us here?
Sure, would love to do that. If you'd like to join us here on the Transformation Talk Radio Network, of course, the show you are listening to right now is Christine Upchurch's radio show. You're welcome to join us and give us your dreams or maybe interpret through our guest today. And the number is 800-930-2819, 800-930-2819. And we'll take Liz calling in from Seattle.
Hi, Liz. Hi. Welcome to the Christine Upchurch show.
Thank you.
So, well, Liz, what's
my dream is recurrent. It's I keep returning to places I've worked before,
mm-hmm.
and I'm wondering if you can help me with that.
JM?
Yeah, I'd be glad to. You know, that's a popular theme, and it's one that I have had several times in my dreams, actually recurring, I should say, more than several. And the first thing that I would look at is the symbolism of whether or not you are somehow in your waking life in the present, being reminded of your work life in the past. Like, are you facing similar challenges or situations again? I'll give an example from my own life, my own dream life, is when I was in college and before and a little before and after, I did a lot of restaurant work. I worked as a waiter. I worked as a bartender. You have to be very organized. You have to be very fast to do the job well. And you have to be able to juggle multiple balls at one time. You got a lot of stuff that's in the air. And it's all got to be done very quickly. So I will dream now about being back at work when I'm facing something where I have several things going on in my life at one time, and I feel like I'm juggling them. So I'll feel like I'm a waiter who has multiple tables that's, you know, all needing my attention. And what those tables represent are areas of my life or tasks that are going on or things that I'm trying to accomplish, and I'm trying to do several things at one time. The feeling that I get when I have a lot of things going on in my life and I'm feeling that sort of nervous energy from having to be able to do so many things at once, that feeling is very similar to what it feels like to look out at a station and see all these tables with all these people that all need something from you, you know. So that was one of the ways I would look at how your life right now is relating back to what you did back then and break down what you did into its essence, you know. I mean, if you were a secretary in an office, what is the essence of what you're doing there? You're communicating information, largely. So you might look at, if you're dreaming about being a secretary in an office, answering phones and passing on information, whether or not you are acting as sort of an intermediary, but you're acting as sort of a go-between between two groups or two people, you know, something along those lines. That's how I'd analyze that dream.
So does that make sense to you, Liz?
That does make sense. It really does, because sometimes I'll have them several times a month, and then they'll go away, and they could be just related to, like, circumstances and what's going on in my life. So I can
see that. Yeah, you can almost always relate what's going on in a dream. Mm-hmm. One of the little facts about dreams that helps people to interpret them, and this is something good to know, is that a dream will relate back to something that has happened in the previous day or 2 days in your life. But most likely it's the previous day. So when you wake up from a dream and you're puzzling over it, trying to figure it out, something that really helps is to review what happened the previous day and see how it matches up with the dream.
Oh, that's great. And I do keep a dream journal, so that really helps too.
Yeah, it really does. That is one of the first steps for people who want to work with their dreams, is to keep a journal, because it acts as sort of a database, and you'll start to notice, like, you're having these recurrent dreams about work situations, and you start to notice the patterns. But if you don't write it down, then most likely what's going to happen is it's going to disappear from your memory at some point.
That's correct. Well, I really appreciate it. That helped.
You're welcome, Liz. My pleasure.
Thanks for joining us here today, Liz. So, you know, JM, there's the classic dream that I've had many times, and I know lots of other people have, and that is the same sort of thing, but instead of going back to an old job, it's going back to school and arriving the day of the final in college or high school or whatever it was, and realizing that not only did you not study for it, you didn't show up for the class the entire time. What does that one mean?
Well, I've had those dreams myself many times. In fact, I just had one in the last few months that I can remember. And oftentimes what it means is that you're being challenged to learn something, You know, you go through college thinking that it's going to prepare you for your adult life, for your career.
Uh-huh.
But what ends up happening sometimes is you find that college did not really prepare you. So when I was writing my book, you know, I was a political science major and I took a lot of journalism classes in college.
Uh-huh.
And I found that it didn't really prepare me for writing a book-length project. There is a whole other skill set that comes into that that college did not prepare me for. So
right.
I had these dreams that I was back. I was in, you know, I was in school and I have a final exam and I realized I haven't been to class all semester.
Yes.
I didn't study for the test. I don't even know who the professor is. What's going on here? I had another one recently where I was back in school and the theme was is that I knew that I had a few classes that I still had to take in order to graduate. And I started relating that to my waking life, going, well, what is it that I feel like I need more preparation or more education? And I realized that as a dream interpreter that I'd been thinking about taking the next step and going to call it sort of graduate school for dream interpreters,
uh-huh.
that there were some gaps in my knowledge. And sometimes I would have dreams presented to me that I couldn't interpret. And what that dream reflected was is that somewhere in the back of my mind, I was thinking about going back and finishing or continuing my education in dream work.
So that's a great example, JM, because you're talking about you had the awareness of your dreams. You began to interpret it and got good information about your current situation, but you were able to take action based on that information to help you actually create your dream of the dream book.
That's right. And that is step three of the dreams 1-2-3 approach to dream work is once you've remembered and interpreted a dream, then you need to do something with the information. Otherwise, it's just a parlor game. It's something for amusement. It's not
right.
really benefiting you. And living your dreams, if you think about that figure of speech, there are several others like follow your dreams, make your dreams come true.
Uh-huh.
It all means the same thing. Is that there's a piece of advice there that says that if you want to literally live your dreams, then what you need to do is pay attention to your dreams and then apply the information and the messages to your waking life.
Uh-huh.
That's how you live your dreams. And what it can result in is you end up reaching some of those big goals and ambitions you have for yourself. Your dreams can guide you there if it's where you're going to find the most fulfillment and satisfaction in your
mm-hmm.
life. You know, my dreams told me that what I was doing for a living before I wrote Dreams 1-2-3 was not really where my heart was. And by understanding the dreams, I turned around and said, well, look, I'm an author and a dream interpreter. That's
uh-huh.
really what I'm best at. And that is what really, you know, gets my juices going and gets my blood pumping, you know. Running a hotel, that doesn't get my blood pumping, you know.
Sure.
That is how I was able to take the messages from my dreams and then apply them to my life, which then ended up making my dreams come true in
uh-huh.
the sense that since a teenager, I always felt that there was a groundbreaking book somewhere in me.
Uh-huh.
I just had to figure out, A, how to write it, and B, what the subject was going to be.
Sure, yeah, both of those are probably really important points to getting the book out there.
And it only took 20 years to figure it out. You know?
Yeah, yeah, and that's just the nature of our journey, isn't it?
That's right.
Yeah. So, when we return, I'm going to want you, JM, to share with our listeners your perspective on are dreams always beneficial in terms of what they're sharing with us? And also, we have time to take a couple more callers, probably. Benny, the number?
800-930-2819. Again, 800-930-2819.
Okay, I'm going to go to a quick break. More with JM DeBoard when we return here on the Christine Upchurch Show.
I'm Peggy Snow with another Stellar Reflections Minute. Presence, or what we think of as being fully in the moment, is a key element in the process of healing work. As a practitioner facilitating a session, genuine presence takes us out of our heads where we tend to decide what is and maybe what should be for the client and moves us into direct experience where we're available to witness the person in their wholeness. In this receptive realm, our senses are heightened and expanded, allowing us to perceive what's seeking to unfold and to interact in the moment. There's something profoundly powerful that happens when healing is approached in this simple, pure way. Balance can be restored and healing can take place on multiple levels. If you'd like more information about the services we offer at Stellar Reflections, visit us at stellarreflections.com or call 425-999-9999. 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
What if the world doesn't function the way we've been told? What if we truly can bend the laws of physical reality? What if we can end limitation? What if weird were the coolest thing you could be? And what if it's time for a totally different reality? Are you ready to create it? Are you ready to dream as big as you dare? Hi, my name is Dane here. 13 years ago, I started to truly ask questions. Actually, I started to be the question, and everything in my life changed for me. This is your invitation to step into something that Einstein, Marie Curie, Newton, Da Vinci, Shakespeare, Gandhi, Galileo, and Aristotle all knew to be true. It's not about the answer. It's about being the question, always. It's about truly being you, whatever that looks like, and changing this world. Is now the time? Start by signing up for a free video series at beingyouclass.com. That's beingyouclass.com. What if you are the gift and the change this world requires? Beingyouclass.com.
Join us February 14th through the 17th for the 22nd Annual Women of Wisdom Conference in Seattle. Come explore the new paradigm, riding the wave of the heart. Inspirational speakers, experiential workshops will change your life for good. Join Donna Eden, Esther Nicholson's, Jalaja Bonheim, Julie McIntyre, and S.J. Tucker. Everything is individually priced, and evening events are open to men. Reduced prices for teens, students, and seniors. Looking for community? Join us this February. Visit womenofwisdom.org. That's womenofwisdom.org. Oh, and you'll want to attend the CD music release concert that S.J. Tucker is giving Saturday, February 15th. That's womenofwisdom.org, 206-782-3363. That's 206-782-3363.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW AM 1150, WBLQ AM 1230, Cable Radio Network, and Transformation Talk Radio. Or perhaps you're listening on iTunes or from StellarReflections.com or TransformationTalkRadio.com, wherever you're listening. I encourage you to think about the importance of dreams, because J.M. DeBoard, who's the author of Dreams 1, 2, 3, Remember, Interpret, and Live Your Dreams, has some wonderful information to share with us about how dreams can benefit us. Now, JM, you know, we've talked about dreams, and sometimes the symbolism is just really helpful, and, you know, you put it together and it has meaning. But sometimes there are those dreams that we like to avoid, and I think they often fall under the terminology of nightmare.
Nightmare.
What are nightmares about?
Well, you know, I think of nightmares as shock therapy. Because what they're trying to do often is they're trying to show you something that is going on beneath the surface or really overtly going on in your life that is causing stress, anxiety, worry, fear. And what the dream is doing is it's showing that fear or stress or whatever it is as symbolism, and it's giving you an opportunity to work through it. So let me give a quick example. I was just helping someone on Reddit Dreams. That's R-E-D-D-I-T, Dreams, and you can just Google it, and it'll take you there. It's a forum for people who are interested in dreams, and I'm a moderator there. And the dream was basically about spiders, and the dreamer has an inordinate fear of spiders. You know, just bring up the subject of spiders, and it, you know, gives them goosebumps, makes the skin crawl.
Yeah, I've met a few people who are like that.
Yeah, spiders, snakes, you know, things like that. And what it can symbolize is either a direct fear of spiders. You know, maybe the thought of having a spider on his arm just absolutely gives him the willies, you know.
Sure.
But then again, maybe the spider is a symbol for something else that he fears that's similar.
Such
like
as?
Spiders weave webs. And if you're somebody who has been caught up in a web of intrigue, you can fear getting into that situation again or ever being in it. So the spider could represent something like that. And by addressing the fear in the dream, then you can help to subconsciously address whatever that fear symbolizes, either, or if the dream, if there's a literal fear of spiders and you're in a dream and you can just sort of observe the spider without fear, you can calm yourself and go, well, as long as it's not landing on my face, I guess I'm okay with it, you know, and you, that way you calm yourself while you are seeing the thing that you fear the most, and you can help to sort of reprogram yourself so that you're not as fearful of spiders. Or let's say that the spider symbolizes something like fear of entrapment or entanglement, then what it can symbolize by addressing the fear of the spider in the dream, you're actually addressing the underlying fear of entanglement.
So, you know, JM, it all makes sense to me, but I know that there are people out there, and I've fit into this category at times in my life as well, where we've had a disturbing dream and we just want to forget it.
Yeah.
Why is it not advantageous for us to just kind of forget it and let it be?
Well, it's sort of like if you avoid anything that is along the lines of a tough decision or a hard realization, that the more that you avoid it or repress it, the stronger it's going to become, the more that it goes down into the shadowy side of your psyche and is able to operate from a place that is outside of your conscious control. And that can lead to all sorts of problems, you know, and things that can really make your life go awry. So if you can have the you know, the courage to address whatever it is in your dream that you're trying to avoid, then it can help you to also address those things in your life that you're trying to avoid. And it really behooves you to do that.
So, you know, I know that there are a lot of psychologists out there and spiritual leaders, too, who talk about the importance of not only looking at our shadow sides, but embracing them. So I think it takes some courage within the context of dreams or within the context of our waking lives to actually face those things. But
that's right, because there is all sorts of potential that is within that shadowy part of yourself that can be beneficial for you.
Yes.
You know, like, let's say, for instance, when I was a kid, my parents were pacifists. They had protested against the Vietnam War. You know, they were very much, they were pacifists. And so as a kid, when I was confronted by aggression, what I tended to do was just sort of withdraw back into my shell. So before I learned how to bring, before I learned how to deal with that, what would happen is that the part of myself that could respond to that aggression kind of went underground. And I found that I became sort of a doormat for people because for aggressive or bullying type of people. And so within my shadow side was my ability to be able to respond to that and to see myself in a more complete way so that I can honor what I learned from my parents, which is, you know, never strike out in anger, always look to settle an argument before using your fists or exchanging heated words or things like that. And so that stuff ended up way down, repressed down inside of me. And what it meant was is that when I was confronted by bullying or aggression, I tended to just blow my top. You know, I would go from zero to 100 very quickly.
Right.
You know? And
so
by,
busy suppressing it, eventually it has to come out one way or another.
That's right. That's exactly right, Christine. So if you can make that part of you, then you can become balanced. So if I need to respond aggressively to somebody else's aggression, I can do it in a conscious way that isn't going to overwhelm me. You know, otherwise, that is a potential that is buried underneath the surface. And not only am I not accessing the potential, I'm making the situation worse because I'm repressing it and it's in my shadow and it can act against me from, you know, behind the scenes.
Sure.
So those, otherwise, those, you make your shadow an ally. You make it your best friend.
Yeah.
And shadow is a source of tremendous creativity. Carl Jung talks about this a lot.
Of course,
and you were
yeah.
talking about at the opening of your show about how the Seattle Seahawks use creative visualization and things like that, which in my book and in other books about dream work, it is one of the number one tips that we give is to use the dreams as fodder for things that you can wake up and then use it as part of your imagination to imagine the success that is coming up in your life.
Sure. And so the dream is just another approach to the dream interpretation of nightmares can just be another approach to sort of making friends with our shadow side so that it's not the one in control.
That's right. Hey, and if anyone from the Seattle Seahawks organization is listening today, tell them that I think that, you know, dream work would be a great way for enhancing the lives of their players and maybe ultimately making them better on the field.
That's
seems like Coach Carroll is open to these ideas.
Yeah,
it
is.
Other people may not be.
I know, but it's a great tool. Now, do we have enough time to talk about the Facebook dream real quick? Like, Can we talk about that in a minute and a half, or do we not have enough time?
Well, let's go ahead and talk about it real quick. I'll give a summary of the dream. There was a guy that dreamed that underneath his right index finger, he found the Facebook implant. That's how the dream identified it.
Ooh.
And it was just like a little chip, you know. And he, when he goes on in the dream, he decides that he's going to have the chip removed. And then later on in the dream, he finds that none of his friends recognize him. And so the symbolism here is just awesome satire, because what it meant was, is his feelings were, is that if he cut himself off from Facebook, he was going to be cutting himself off from his friends.
Uh-huh.
And the implant was very telling because it was underneath the right index finger. And when you're on Facebook, Christine, what do you do with your right index finger? Assuming you use a mouse or a keypad.
Let's see. Hit like, hit, you know.
It's your clicker.
Yeah.
That's right. It's the number one thing you use other than your eyes physically on Facebook is you use your finger to click around the site. And so the Facebook plant being underneath his right index finger, I thought was just awesome symbolism.
Sure, sure. Okay, Jam, we're going to have to head out in just a moment. Can you please share with our listeners the various ways they can connect with you?
Yes, absolutely. If you put Dreams 123 into your favorite search engine, most likely the top result is going to lead you to my websites, either dreams1-2-3.com, which really shows you the book and gives a sort of a summary of how I approach dreams. And then dreams123.net has no dashes in it. And that is my blog, and that's where people can, they can link to copies of the book, but they can also see how I interpret dreams and how I take it and take something that's a subject that is very big. There's a lot of psychology and spirituality, and people approach it from all these different perspectives. But I approach it from a very practical standpoint, which is that the dreams are stories about you, and there's messages within those stories. And because they're structured like other stories that we're familiar with, like movies and novels and stuff like that, there's a way for analyzing the dream and then connecting it with your waking life.
Great. Thank you so much, Jam, for joining me here today. Jam DeBoard, author of Dreams 123.
You've been listening to The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Each week, this show engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about the transformative healing work of Christine, visit www.StellarReflections.com. And for weekly topics, visit www.TransformationTalkRadio.com. On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Tune in to Intuit University, compassionate guidance connecting you to your inner wisdom with internationally renowned psychic and medium, Sherry Dillard, the second and fourth Thursday each month at 12 p.m. Pacific Time and 3 p.m. Eastern Time. Get ready for an hour of practical spirituality and a fun and magic carpet ride into the spirit realm. This hit show is a combination of call-in readings and intuitive mentoring as Sherry supports and empowers you to create your best life in relationships, career, finances, life purpose, and spirituality. For more information, visit SherryDillard.com.
Called the Oprah of radio by her listeners, award-winning host Dr. Pat Basile is blowing the doors off of traditional talk radio. Get ready for an energizing delivery and powerful interviews with leaders in the field of human potential. Dr. Pat's fresh, new perspective on living life full out has catapulted her show to the top of talk radio. Tune in and Dr. Pat will help you thrive instead of merely survive. Visit thedrpatshow.com. That's THEDRPatshow.com for listening times in your area.
I've heard people say that too much of anything is not good for you, baby. But I don't know about that.
Love is officially in the air. Transformation Talk Radio and the Dr. Pat Show is showing you love all year long, not just for Valentine's Day.
Dr. Pat, known for her Pay It Forward manifesto, is now joined by the hosts on Transformation Talk Radio. I'm in love, baby, with Transformation Talk Radio. Tune in to TransformationTalkRadio.com. Amazing host, incredible guest. Get your groove on. Feel the love, be the love.
Can't get enough of your love, pain. Lord, some things I can't get used to.
Thank you for listening to Transformation Talk Radio. Like us on Facebook/Transformation Radio Network. Tweet and follow us at TransformNet. Visit us at www.transformationtalkradio.com and find us on Pinterest, Google+, YouTube, spiritualnetworks.com, Flickr, Tumblr, and Spreaker. Just search for Transformation Talk Radio. Please stay tuned at the top of the hour.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.